And we continue at 107 in the afternoon. Talk Radio 790 KABC, the John Phillips Show, broadcasting live in exile from the Morongo Casino Resort and Spa Living Room Studios. And it's time to fully reopen the state of California for business. Mr. Randy Wang's the sports desk in Culver City.
John, up in Sacramento, a new bill has moved to the full assembly that, if passed, would allow test programs in Los Angeles, Oakland, and San Francisco for safe injection sites where the bums can go do all the drugs they want, supervised. Now, if this thing passes, here's my thought. Don't put this in Skid Row. Don't put this on the Venice Boardwalk. Put this in Hancock Park right next to the Getty House, and let's see how long this program lasts.
Well, if it passes, you know what else it means.
What is that?
Hunter Biden's moving back. 800-222-KABC is the telephone number, 1-800-222-5222. Well, Tuesday is Election Day, and it's not really Election Day. It's election season because the ballots went out in the mail. Early voting has started. If you have chosen to vote or you want to vote, you can do so anytime you want. You just have to fill it out, put it in the blue bin, put it in the mail, drop it off at one of the ballot drop-off centers, which I think are at various city halls all over the state of California. And one of the offices, if you live in Los Angeles, that you'll be voting on is Controller. Controller is an independent office where the controller is elected citywide by the people of Los Angeles. The job of the controller is to keep an eye on the dollars and cents and make sure that taxpayer money is being spent appropriately, isn't being wasted, isn't being stolen, you know, the stuff that we've gotten used to. Joining us now as a candidate for that office, you can get him online at vahidiforcontroller.com and follow him on Twitter at Vahidi David. David Vahidi, welcome.
Thank you, John, so much for having me on the show.
Thanks so much for stopping by. Now, let's talk about something that drives me absolutely mad. And as controller, if elected, you might be able to do something about this. Whenever Mayor Garcetti talks about a problem, let's take homelessness, for example. Instead of saying we are spending money and the number of homeless people has gone from X down to Y and we're making a dent in the problem and our money is being well spent, he never talks about the results. He never says this is how many homeless people we started with and now we have fewer because what we're spending is working. He always talks about the dollars that are spent as if that is the accomplishment, or the number of programs that are created as if that is the accomplishment. And it drives me nuts because if we're paying for these things and we're creating all these new programs, but we're not getting the desired results, there's a problem somewhere in there that he hasn't been able to identify. Is that something that as city controller that you would focus on?
Absolutely. So first of all, when we passed Prop HH, we had about 40,000 homeless people in the city of LA. After 5 years, I think we built now 1,000 homes and at a cost of $600,000 to $800,000 per unit. And, you know, unfortunately, we now have 60,000 homeless people. So it's like that young child putting his finger in the dam, trying to plug the leak. We're just going backwards. And unfortunately, we've spent billions, but we haven't spent it in an efficient way to actually solve the problem. But a little bit about myself first. Believe it or not, John, I'd be the first controller of Los Angeles that has an advanced degree in accounting. I've done over 350 criminal and civil audits. And a lot of my audits have led to the prosecution of people that steal taxpayer money. I'm also a CFO, so I understand, you know, people relying on my financial judgment for their livelihoods. And finally, I'm an attorney with 24 years experience. And the reason I think that's the unique skill set that we need in the city of LA today is, as you are aware and many of your listeners, is the corruption in our city has become rampant. Just at the LADWP, over $120 million were stolen in two scams. One of them being a $30 million no bid contract that I promise you and your listeners I would have caught as a skilled auditor, because that contract was with a company that was in business for less than 8 days, and it was for cybersecurity. And in a city where we have hundreds of vendors providing that service, it makes absolutely no sense that it was no bid, and for that it would have set off the alarm bells. But, you know, the worst part of that $120 million stolen is now the DWP wants your listeners to pay higher rates to repay that money. And it just bugs me when I see that, John.
Well, let's go back to the homeless for a second, because you mentioned the politically connected groups that get the money. And you look at these groups that are supposed to service the homeless, and you look at the people that run these groups. That's where Congresswoman Katie Hill came from. That's where Councilwoman Nithya Raman came from. And you say to yourself, okay, the problem's getting worse. We're spending more, yet all of these organizations have some sort of political connection that gets them the money. And that just seems like corruption to me.
At very least, it's pay for play, which is, you know, the evil cousin of corruption. And one of the reasons our city's going backwards in so many areas, whether it's homelessness or lack of infrastructure and so forth. But let's get to the homeless problem. So, you know, first thing I want to do as controllers, do a statistical sampling census, because we have to get a determination of who we have homeless in the city of L.A., but more importantly, where they came from and how long they've been homeless. Because ultimately, no matter how generous the taxpayers of Los Angeles are, we can't solve this problem because it is a national problem, and we have to have a FEMA-type response to this problem. But, you know, we have 20-25% of our homeless that are economically challenged. They don't have drug treatment, drug issues, or mental health problems, and yet the city of L.A. pays $5,000 a month to rent a hotel room to put them in when a voucher of $750 to $800 a month for a year would be enough to get them off the street. And all of a sudden, you do that times 4,000 or 5,000 people, and you can see hundreds of millions of dollars wasted. But, you know, I like to think out of the box, John. You know, one idea that was presented to me, and I really want to explore it, why don't they put a cruise ship, buy a used cruise ship, put it in San Pedro? It's a floating city. We could take 2,500 people off right away, give them mental health treatment.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit. And you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL Fan Festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.
Former Navy SEAL Sean Ryan shares real stories from real people from all walks of life on The Sean Ryan Show. Comedian John Crist.
How long have you been in Nashville? Let's see, 2018 is when I moved here. I lived in an apartment. I didn't know anything about it. I lived in L.A.
You were living in L.A.? How was that?
Yeah. Well, let's see. Good for my career. Sent me to rehab, though. So that's pretty much the sum of it.
The Sean Ryan Show on YouTube or wherever you listen.
Make one for drug treatment. And you know what the cost per unit would be? Less than $30,000. So there's a tremendous amount of waste. I'll be the controller to identify it, but I will also be the controller to try to work with the policymakers to try to eliminate the waste. Because I don't want to be the controller that tells you your money's been wasted. I want to be the controller that tells you it was about to be wasted and we stopped it.
We're speaking with David Vahidi, who's a candidate for L.A. City Controller. You can follow him on Twitter at Vahidi David. Another thing that drives me crazy about this city is that you have departments that will come down with studies and statistics and information that is useful and relevant to the city that would save us money, and we do nothing with it. For example, the fire department came out with a list of any number of different homeless encampments that were also fire hazards that could potentially start fires that would cost the city tons of money, burn down people's homes, put lives at risk, animals at risk, property at risk. And we have the list, we know where the problem areas are, and we do nothing with that information. And the fires start right and left. I mean, just listen to a traffic report to find out the homeless encampment fires. But we refuse to do anything with that. Would there be anything your office could do to force them to do something with that information?
Well, I think it's just public embarrassment. And, you know, you're absolutely right, John. There's over 24 fires a day set at homeless encampments. And, you know, the fire department is racing out to stop these fires, and therefore aren't available when there's a medical emergency or a car accident for the people that, you know, need them. And so, look, there's a ton of waste. Let me give you one example, John. Every decade, the city of LA spends $200 million replacing trash cans at single-family homes because they crack after a year to 18 months. Well, look, if we added a little bit more rubber to that trash can, it would last 10 years. Then we take that $200 million we've saved there and we fix our sidewalks, right? And then if we fix our sidewalks, we don't even have a better looking and more walkable city, but we cut down from that $35 million a year we're paying out for legitimate slip and falls on the huge cracks on the sidewalk. And then that money could be used to open another fire station, hire more police officers, do trimming, potholes. It shows you the domino effect. Here's what I can tell you, John. I'm getting into this race because I'm sick of the corruption and the waste. I have a lot of experience and I have a lot of energy. And I promise you, if I'm your controller, not only am I going to identify it, but I'm going to be a pest to 8 city council members and the mayor until they actually implement those changes. Because that's how you judge my success as controller. Not only identifying, but implementation.
How is it that you would avoid becoming part of that culture? Because there are many people that run for office as an outsider who say that they will go there and they will be an independent voice and they will call out their colleagues if they take a step over an ethical line or a legal line, and they need to be called out. Yet you look at the LA City Council, and we have how many of them are either in prison or on their way to prison or just got out of prison. You start to lose count after a while. What would you do to reform the ethics at LA City Hall to make sure that the crooks get caught and that the potential crooks know that someone's minding the store?
So to your first part of your question, if somebody wants to go to laethics.org, they'll see that I've never accepted one dime from any union, any special interest. I've actually sent back over $30,000 because I want to only be beholden to the people. And, you know, you make a great example. My main opponent in this race, I have two of them, Paul Koretz, who's been on the city council for 12 years, is endorsed by every city council person on the city council. So how is Paul going to be able to be a strong advocate for the, you know, and audit the policies of the city council when he was put in office by those same elected officials? And so it's up to the voters to do their research, figure out, you know, who's funding the candidates and, you know, make the right decision, which I hope for city controller will be David Behetti. But, you know, we just have to do better with the ethics. Now, on the ethics itself, I'd be able to appoint one person to the ethics commission of the five, and I'm calling for real-time review. I'm calling for the ethics commission to be the treasurer of the campaign so we can catch the corruption and the pay-for-play earlier. But also on my own controller's website, you'll be able to see the calendars of the elected officials, including my own. And I'm also going to be offering a $50,000 reward for any information that leads to indictment. And work closely with the DA, because as you mentioned, three city council members, the head of the DWP just got sentenced to 6 years. The second in command of the city attorneys is just pled guilty. He's going to prison. We have 24 people going to prison, and they had a chance. And this is what really bugs me, John. They had a chance to make people's lives better. And instead, they decided to enrich themselves. And the words I want to use, I can't use on radio. But, you know, I have the energy and I will catch it. And I'll make L.A. a much harder place to be corrupt.
Why is it that Paul Koretz is running for this office? As far as I know, he has no background in this world at all. He was a complete waste of space on the council. He was a load up in Sacramento when he was in the state legislature. Is he just termed out and this is the only thing he thinks he can win? So that's why he's running?
Absolutely. He's termed out, and you're right. In one of the debates, he was asked about an audit question, and he said, that's not fair. Everybody knows David T. Behetti is the professional auditor. And, yeah, zero experience, just looking for his next job. He's been in government for 45 years. And I got to tell you, it's a little frustrating when we do these debates. You know, Paul will say, I want to do X, Y, and Z. And every one of those things, John, he could have done while he was on city council. And yet, you know, I have to be the polite candidate and just hope that the voters get it. And, you know, but it's one of the harder parts about running for office. But I also have to let you know about Kenneth Mejia. And I don't know if you've done your research.
Oh, he's a complete nut. He's a big defund the police guy that the daughter of the L.A. Times, the owner of the L.A. Times, is fond of.
Yeah, he actually posted a tweet that, you know, shocked me that said, once we get rid of the police, we can start the uprising. And I'm so dedicated to this, John, because, you know, we just can't have that type of leadership, you know, between Kretz and Mejia in here. And I'm glad that you're spreading the word, because I think a lot of people will be shocked if they wake up on June 8th and they find out exactly, you know, what Kenneth Mejia is really about.
Let's say, for example, he gets elected. If you have someone who is politically that extreme in that office and they want to create as much damage as they humanly can, how much damage could a maliciously destructive person cause in that office if they were given those constitutional powers, power by the charter?
Well, that's a great question. So, you know, for example, the very first payroll for LAPD doesn't go out. And you would end up having to go to court and getting a court order to force the city controller to pay the police officers. And that's how much damage you can do. But it's even worse than that. You know, Mejia doesn't believe that anybody should be evicted ever. He doesn't believe that anybody should ever be removed from the sidewalk, even if there's a shelter for them. And so a person like that in the controller's office can start doing audit reports and proposals to advocate that position. And so it has a lot of power. And, you know, your listeners shouldn't be, you know, don't be surprised. They have 20-25% of the people that feel the same way they do. And in a low turnout where we're seeing 8-9% turnout as of today, that 25% can take over this city.
It's unbelievably reckless to me that the LA Times would give that candidate their endorsement, because endorsing that candidate for this office is an endorsement of anarchy. And for a newspaper that claims to be responsible to endorse anarchy at a time when this city has a lot of problems, where that office could be used to do some good, to put someone in there that's purposely just going to drop hand grenades right and left is beyond my ability to comprehend.
Well, John, it wasn't only just in the city controllers. If you look in the first district, you know, they have a candidate there that's endorsed by the LA Times strongly that is repeatedly saying, I want to never hire another police officer. And as we get down to 100 police officers, we'll just fire the rest. And this is, you know, directly from the website, directly. And they're in every city council race. And there's even one in the mayor's race. And they just, you know, are hoping that the voter turnout is so low that they're going to be able to get in. And so, again, it's up to the listeners. You know, there's an old saying, people get the government they deserve. Well, I strongly believe we don't deserve what we have here with the surge in crime, homelessness, lack of infrastructure. But if people don't, you know, really understand what's at stake, they could get surprised.
David Vahidi, candidate for L.A. City Controller. You can get him online at vahidiforcontroller.com or follow him on Twitter at Vahidi. David, I don't live and vote in the city of L.A., but if I did, you'd certainly get my vote.
John, thank you so much. I'll work hard to make you and your listeners proud. You have a wonderful day.
All right. Thank you so much, sir. Oh, dear. 800-222-KABC is the phone number. 1-800-222-5222. Well, Sacramento has been drama central over the last couple of days because there's a coup a-brewing in the state assembly.
Didn't go as well as Mr. Rivas thought it would go, because they are like, first the guy tweets out, I have the votes, I'm going to be the next speaker. And then they try to do the coup on Tuesday. They all go into a huddled meeting. They try to call a recess. They try to adjourn. And they come out, Rendon saying, well, I'm definitely serving at least the rest of this term.
And when does the term expire?
I think September.
Okay. And then the election's in November?
Yeah.
And then you're going to have a massive turnover in the assembly after the election, because a lot of them are terming out or running for other offices or retiring.
Yeah, so Rivas won't have the votes that he thinks he has.
You know, this state has so many problems facing it, and those fools spend their time launching coups against one another so that one candidate who has exactly the same politics as the guy who's already there can be the guy in the bigger office.
Well, I really hope that Tony Rendon stays around, because think about this. If you've got Tony Rendon, you've got the Tony in the state Senate, and if Tony Fanera becomes governor, we will finally be at Tony. And London Breed would love it.
All right. Joining us to talk about this and much, much more is the candidate for the state assembly in District 36. That's out there in Riverside County in Hemet. You can get him online.
Our house is a mess. Come on in. I'm Amber Wallen, internet comedian and host of your new favorite podcast, Fly on the Wallen.
Okay, that's pretty presumptuous to assume that this is going to be their favorite podcast, by the way.
Anyway, that wasp that you just heard interrupt me is my husband.
And co-host, Benjamin Wallen.
Listen in as we discuss relationships and keeping our sweet baby kid alive.
Fly on the Wallen, wherever you listen.
Ian Weeks for assembly.com. Ian Weeks, welcome to the show.
Thank you, John.
As you look at all the problems facing the state, whether it's crime or homelessness or the high cost of living or the fires or the drought, and you see that these fools are spending all of their time launching coups against one another instead of doing anything about all of the problems that face the state, you just throw your hands up and you say, what are you people doing with your time? What's your reaction to all of the drama going on up there now?
Well, John, I mean, fundamentally, my reaction is to run, right? So,
run for office or run for the hills?
Run for office, right? I mean, and listen, I understand. I mean, so many great Californians are running for the hills. A lot of folks are leaving our state, and I completely understand why. I don't fault them. It makes all the sense in the world. But, you know, I've lived here my entire life. I love the state of California. I love this country. And somebody has to stand up and fight for our values and at least attempt to take it back. As you said, you know, we are being ruled by fools that, you know, they spend more time, as you said, you know, infighting and figuring out how they can climb the political ladder and continue to take a paycheck than they do on solving problems. And I hate to say it, it's cynical, but I don't think they're in the business of solving problems. I think they're in the business of creating problems, exacerbating problems, and then offering us solutions that are only half as bad as the problems they've created and saying, look, what a great job we've done. And so, you know, as I said, my reaction to all of it is to step up to the plate and fight for the state that I've been in my entire life, that I love, and that, you know, I got a lot of friends and neighbors that love this place. And I don't want to go. I don't want my friends and neighbors to go. But that means that somebody has to make the sacrifice to stand up for what's right. And I didn't necessarily expect that it was going to be me in this capacity. But that door has been open for me. I believe that God is involved in that. I don't believe it was an accident. I think there was divine intervention. The way that it came about was rather shocking. And I felt prompted that I needed to do this. And so that's my reaction. Let's fight.
You know, politics is always about who gets what, when, where, how, and why. And yeah. No one's ever going to agree on that. There's always going to be fighting. In fact, that's the whole point that James Madison had in the Constitution about the warring factions. Just give everyone a seat at the table. Let the food fight begin. There's no such thing as the common good. What you walk away with is compromise that everyone can live with, but no one's 100% happy. And typically what happens in places like Washington is that those fights are ideological. You have people on the left and you have people on the right, and they see the world in different ways and they fight over their ideology. They think their ideology is the best way for the country to run on. But in California, where we have a one-party state, you still have the same fights over resources. But since it's not an ideological fight, it seems like it's just fights over turf or fights over personality or fights over who gets the bigger office and who gets the bigger budget and those sorts of things. And you say to yourself, okay, well, if you're fighting over who gets the big corner office and you're not fighting over things that the people care about, then you're not doing the job that you were fundamentally put there to do.
That's right. You know, and the gentleman that I'm running against, you know, he's a four-term incumbent, and, you know, it's funny. I drive down the 10, he's got a billboard that says, help me continue fighting for you. And John, I think you make a great point, right? I've looked at it and thought, well, wait a minute, crime's up, cost of living's way up, we're having our freedoms undermined every day. And I know a lot of parents are extremely frustrated with the lack of control over what's happened in our schools over the last couple of years. Certainly, we're frustrated with the business lockdowns. A lot of people are suffering. And I'm looking at it going, well, if you're fighting for us, where are the results? You know, I mean, I think that, you know, especially in my district, I think my district is largely regular blue collar folks that are really hurting with $6 a gallon gas. You know, we're creeping up towards seven. I'm hearing from credible sources we may be as high as 10 by the fall. Regular people are hurting. And I think this guy's got some nerve saying, you know, help me continue fighting for you. I've likened it to, you know, hiring a bodyguard who lets you get beat up every day for 2 years straight and then comes to you with a straight face and says, extend my contract. Let me keep fighting for you. And, you know, I think when you're bruised and beaten down, you look at the guy and you go, what do you mean extend your contract? You're not doing your job. I'm hurt. I'm beat up and I need to look for an alternative. And as you said, John, you know, we're never going to find 100% common ground. We have competing interests. We have competing ideologies. But, you know, this is overused. But Albert Einstein coined the phrase, you know, the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over and over again and expecting a different result. You know, I'm running to give people an alternative to say, listen, you know, you have a choice here. You don't have to just keep voting for the same kinds of policies that we've had for several decades in this state. And all the while, drug addiction's up, homelessness is up, crime is up, cost of living is out of control. Let's stop beating our heads against that brick wall and try something different. So, you know, that's what I'm running for.
Well, what's the saying when a president is running for re-election? Are you better off now than you were 4 years ago? And if things are going well, then incumbents generally get re-elected. When you look at the state and you look at the party that's been in power, we've been a one-party state for many years now. Is homelessness better? Is crime better? Is cost of living better? Has the drought gotten better? How about the fires? All of it. All of it has gotten worse across the board. Right. I don't know what issue you can come up with where things have gotten better, except maybe traffic during the shutdown. Okay, but that's going to go back to normal. Everything else has gotten worse.
It's my business shutdown, but hey, you know, traffic isn't so bad. I mean, you know, I can't feed my family, but hey, I could drive down the road, except gas costs me $6-7 a gallon. So I guess I'm not going to do that either because, you know, I'm hurting financially. The only thing that I hear my opponent, and, you know, I have two opponents. There's a Democrat challenging the incumbent, and then there's the incumbent. And by all accounts, after June 7th, it's likely to be down to myself and the incumbent. But the thing that I constantly hear him say, right, you know, his big claim to fame is, I bring money back to our district, right? And you know, I bring back hundreds of millions of dollars for housing projects. Well, why don't we stop taking, I mean, we have nearly a $100 billion surplus, billion with a B, in the state of California. That doesn't mean that they're managing money well. It means they're doing a great job of taking it from California's citizens. You know, Gavin Newsom just put out recently, I'm going to put forward an $18 billion relief package. That's like saying, hey, I just stole $100 from you, but here's 18 of it back. Well, gee, thanks a lot. And I've got this man that I'm running against, just saying, look at, I brought hundreds of millions of dollars. It's like a mob cartel. It's, you know, it's a racket. They've got all of this money that belongs to us. And when an election year rolls around, they say, look, hey, you know, and it's not impressive that he gets the money. His party rules Sacramento. I mean, the Democrats have a majority in Washington. They have a supermajority in California. They literally can do whatever they want, nearly unopposed. Now, I know I've met James Gallagher and Vince Fong and Heath Floor and some of these guys in the assembly, and they are fighting hard against these guys. But we have, the Republicans have 19 members in the state assembly out of 80. The Democrats have 61. So I'm not impressed when Eduardo Garcia says, look at this money I got for you. The state has a ton of it. They run the budget. They have complete control over the purse strings. So it's an election year. And they send it down, and it's like a kickback. It's, hey, here's some of your money back. Re-elect us. And I just, I find that disgusting. I find it really off-putting. I'm a certified financial planner. That's what I've been doing professionally for the last 16 years. It's my job to manage money effectively on a fiduciary basis, to look out for the best interests of my clients. I've been doing that for 16 years. And that's some of the professional background, you know, the common sense that I think I can bring to the state assembly. Now, it's an uphill battle. I mean, you know, even if we do great in this cycle, we might wind up with 23 to 25 seats in the assembly. You know, we're not going to change it overnight. But the reality is we've got to take the fight to these folks and we've got to give people an option. And I do think that our party has been a little weak, you know, in recent years and honestly, probably in recent decades. We've struggled to just stand on our core convictions and win or lose, live or die by them. And I intend to go up and fight for our values, to say exactly what I mean and to follow through on it. And I will say this, John, the guy I'm running against is a quintessential career politician. He's been doing this for his entire career. I mean, back to, I think 2004 is when he began, and he votes lockstep with the Democratic Party day in and day out. This is his meal ticket. I mean, I don't know how else to read that. I've been making a living in the private sector for 16 years. This is honestly an enormous sacrifice for me to step into the race. It's easier for me not to do this. But if I don't manage to get elected, I know how to make a living, and I'm going to keep doing that. And if I get elected and, you know, both, you know, if parties get mad at me because I'm there to stand up for what's right, not to do what any particular party tells me to do. And I mean, yeah, generally I agree with the Republicans on most things, but I'm going to stand up and do what's right. And if I end up being a one-term guy, I have a great life to go back to, and that's fine. But the guy that I'm running against, I don't think he can say the same. He's not proven that he can go make a living in the private sector. He collects a government paycheck, and he does exactly what the party tells him to, because if he doesn't, we all know the Democrats will crucify him. They'll run him out on a rail, and that's the end of that. And so we need independent people who actually have a proven track record of being able and willing to make their own way in life. You know, I'm not Donald Trump. I don't have a jumbo jet. I'm not a crazy rich guy, but I don't need this. I'm not doing this for me. I'm doing this because we have to stand up for what's right. And, you know, it's been a neat experience. I've met some great people. I'm not saying there may not be some benefits that come from that, but that's not why I ran. I ran because somebody's got to stand up and fight this cabal.
Ian Weeks, candidate for the state assembly in District 36. That is the Hemet area. You can get him online at ianweeksforassembly.com. Ian Weeks, thanks so much for stopping by.
Appreciate you, John. Thank you.
When you have sports mixed with your pop culture, along with humor and celebrity interviews, your earbuds are enjoying the Rich Eisen Show.
Kevin Millar, we're all paying rent in Ohtani's world, right?
And the Dodgers world. Game is healthy. Game is good. And, you know, I get asked a lot, is that good for baseball? Yeah, it's good for baseball. This is definitely the team to beat, because that should be your next correction, Richie, is this World Series a bust for the Dodgers and Dave Roberts?
Hell yeah. Search for the Rich Eisen Show on YouTube or wherever you listen.